On this episode of Build Tune Race Live, I talked to Joe Revere of Pro Torque Torque Converters. If you guys like these episodes, please make sure you hit subscribe below.
Hey, thanks for jumping on here and talking some converters with me.
My pleasure, bud. My pleasure. Last minute, you know, I didn't shave. I didn't get dressed. You know, who knows you're going to do a Facebook interview on Thursday. But whatever, man. It's all good.
Heck yeah, that's it. So we talked a little bit about some stuff, but I think to get rolling, I'd like to hear kind of about you and how Pro Torques became to be and what's kind of your background in the automotive industry for those that might not know or whatever.
Quite honestly, I'm sick of me, to be honest with you. I don't really want to talk about me. I'm sure everybody is sick of me also, but hey, whatever. I'll make it as brief as possible. I've been in the business since I was about 7. My dad worked for a company here in the New York metro area that rebuilt stock torque converters. I started working full-time weekends and summers when I was like 12. We started Pro Torque my senior year of high school, like 85, 86. We were a local mom and pop rebuilder of torque converters, right? I think I just sold off the OE portion of the business. All I do now is performance work, right? So, but in my OE rebuilding career, I think we figured out when we closed it up and moved into this new facility that I built just under a million torque converters in my lifetime.
Wow!
Yeah, I've seen it all, dude. You know, everything from 7-inch conveyor belt converters to like 3-foot diesel jet engine starter converters. Like, so wow. I mean, industrials, performance. I started doing performance stuff like as a habit, like a hobby, just to keep the little hamster in the wheel happy. You know.
Sure.
And that's, you know, that was like in the late 80s, early 90s. And we did a lot of cool shit just for fun. You know, like, I was doing imports and overdrives and diesels before anybody even, you know, before anybody said performance and diesel in the same sentence, other than I tow my performance car with my diesel truck. So we did a bunch of diesel work and imports and, back in the day. And, we did a lot of nitrous. I think probably the biggest performance stuff we did was like nitrous performance for guys like Scotty G and Pat Musi and those guys. That's when like 632 was a big engine.
Yeah, right.
You know, 565 and you had like something good, you know. And then you know, I kind of took the performance stuff more serious in the early 2000s, but really probably I think we became infamous, is that what they say? Infamous. When we kind of turned the turbo world upside down, back in 2009, 2010, I think we just posted something on the Facebook, because you know everybody's talking about drag radials and running 360s, yeah, which is just stupid fast. Like,
that's crazy.
And we just posted a throwback Thursday post, for Kevin Fiskus running 433s in 2011, right?
Yeah,
and now they're running 360s, knocking on the door at 350s. So, you know, I've had some pretty cool experiences. I'm blessed in the fact that, you know, like, I've worked with some really cool people. I've worked on some pretty cool projects. I did research and development work for the OE manufacturers, for Honda. We worked for Roush for projects for GM with the Ecotec. I wrote a lot of trade publications for the transmission industry. I was the president of the Trade Association, Torque Converter Rebuilders Association. I mean, that and a token will get you on the subway. But, you know, like I've got a fairly wide window of experience and breadth of knowledge and just torque converters in general. What I know is I don't know much, but I do know I know a couple of few things. I always tell people I know enough about torque converters to be dangerous. I don't really know about anything else, which is not entirely true, but it's mostly true. We made some big changes here about 18 months ago. Sold off the OE rebuilding portion of the business. Now we moved into a new kind of high tech. You know, I like to joke around and say it's the Med Scientist Lab, where all I do is performance, all levels of performance. Everything from 300 horsepower, you know, street car to really what is the highest level of automatic transmission stuff, 5,000 horsepower, you know, twin turbo Hemis on 3,000 pounds running 366, you know, like, and everything in between. Like we do, you know, we've got a pretty complete product line. Hey, Chris, what's up, man? Let me see if I can actually, I'm going to, I'm going to see if I can find this whole thing on my Facebook, so I can see if I can read the comments. I don't know if there's some questions and stuff there. Here we go. Because there's Chris Delgado, who's just like killing it in down there with some of those faster street cars stuff. Chris has got like a Hemi and like a Toyota Supra. He's got an 800. I think he's got an 800 cubic inch like twin 200 millimeter turbo deal. So yeah, whatever. Chris is doing some cool stuff. Yeah. So I mean, you know, we do everything. I mean, imports. We do twin turbos. We do nitrous. We do street cars. We've got a new product line specifically for LS equipped cars called the LSXT. Like you name it, we do it. You know, that's pretty much it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Sure, man. So I guess if anybody doesn't know the difference, what when they call you guys up, what will they get? I mean, you say you'll do it all, so then do you look at every spec of their combo to spec out a converter, or what's kind of the main things that you're looking for, or what's the...
Pretty much. Hey, Sean, U9 to the front. That's right. We got a new product line called the U9. It's a 9-inch converter that's just stupid badass. So look, how do we spec out a converter? I mean, the reality is every car is different. So what we're going to do is you're going to call up here, you're going to go online, you're going to go, hey, I want a torque converter for my, you know, whatever. And we're going to say, all right, well, let me get all the information, right? That's the key here is to really understand what your vehicle combination is. I think that's where our strong point is. I mean, I don't say anybody can build a converter, but there are lots of good quality torque converter companies out there, but understanding how the torque converter, yo, Bob Bales, what's up, kid? Understanding how the torque converter operates in your particular vehicle is probably, like, I think probably our strong point, you know, probably where we do really well. So you can go online, right, protorque.com, yada, yada, and custom built torque converter firm. And you're gonna put all of your vehicle's information, gear ratio, tire size, weight, usage, first gear, rear gear, where you're spinning the motor to. So depending on what your application is. If you got a street car and you go, hey, I got a head and cam LSX and a, you know, G8. All right, well, we know kind of where you're going to fit. And based off of your combination, we're going to say, oh, okay, you're at 800 horsepower. You probably need our LSXT line. And, you know, it's rated to 1,200 horsepower. We always try to match the product with the power output. And you know, everybody generally thinks they make more power than they do. So that's why we ask all the information. You know, trust me, dude, you're not making 1,000 horsepower with a 300 cubic inch engine that's, you know, got a 750 CFM carburetor. It's just not happening. So, you know, the good thing with us is that we do understand the combination. So we take all the information. What does Bob Bell say? Hang on. No, that's not true. But Bob Bell says there's only one good converter company out there. That's crap, dude. There's plenty of good guys out there. I'm friendly with most of them, and I got nothing but respect for those guys. So, but yeah, you want to have a good, comfortable relationship with the guy on the opposite side of the phone or the video, or the computer screen, whatever it is. You want to make sure the guy understands what you're doing. We're not the only guys. We happen to work with some of the fastest cars in the world, and with that, that's a great opportunity to be able to say, hey, I did, you know, we work with great, I have this experience, right? Experience is a pretty big deal in what we're doing. And the quality of the product is super important. So back to what I was saying, like, so you're going to give us your information, and the guy who's ordering a converter for a pro mod, a 900 cubic inch nitrous pro mod, he's going to give us slightly different information than the guy who's going to order a converter for his Subaru, STI. You know, the Subaru guy is probably not going to know what his first gear ratio is and his rear gear ratio. It's just, you know, it's a hopped up STI. Yeah, we do those. Cool. Same thing. You got to, in a late model Camaro, and you get an 8L90, and you put a cold air intake and headers. Hey, Mark, what's up, man? Let's get that thing rolling, buddy. Joe Coffson. Wow, we got some really good guys on here. Joe Coffson has one of the iconic cars. That Camaro is like the coolest car ever. If you watch Street Outlaws, Ryan Martin Camaro, the Fireball, Pro Tour Camaro. that's the original Joe Copson car, just like one of my favorite cars of all time. Yeah. He's got a very cool Corvette coming out right now. Well, actually, it's out. He had it at Lights Out in Georgia. I can tell you, if you saw pictures on Facebook of that car, there's no way the pictures do the paint job justice. Mm-hmm. It is just off the charts.
All right. Yes, so, the maroon Corvette.
I'm like pinning Jello to the wall. I'm going to be all over the map on subject here. So if we go back to every car needs something different, right? So you're going to call us. You're going to tell us what your specs are. We're going to try to figure out what you need, and then we're going to put you into a product that kind of matches what your requirements are, right? And everybody's requirements are different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, I hear you, man. So. If you guys have any questions, right. I know, go ahead and throw them in there. I got a few for Joe. I kind of already told him about, so he's able to prep for it. But what – I have a turbo street car. But what's really the difference between your nitrous, your NA, and your turbo converters? Let's say if you're even talking street car stuff, somewhere around the 1,000 horsepower range, what's really going to – what really changes there? I mean, is it a whole different design? Is it really just the stators? Is it like for the turbo technology, is there that much different, or is it – that the turbo cars, because they start making more power as they come up on the two-step, that they slip the converter? Like, what's really the...
That's a lot of questions in one question. Let me
Yeah, I know. Just kind of in a general... You get a converter, it's got X number stator in it or whatever, but how...
Let me try to break it down for you. And I'll break your question down into a few parts. So... what is the difference between nitrous and turbo and blower and normally aspirated?
Sure.
I mean, it's a world of difference. A turbo car needs a turbo converter. It needs something that is meant for the power, the way the power is applied on a turbo car. It is generally pretty different than what we would need for a nitrous car. Certainly different than what we would need for a normally aspirated car. So the torque converter has to have enough capacity. The torque converter itself, like if you thought about the torque converter in a clutch, as if you would a clutch, it has to have enough capacity. It's got to be able to handle the power that the engine can produce, right? Sure. So turbo cars generally produce more power, or, you know, I'm going to say more because you can have 1,000 horsepower turbo car, 1,000 horsepower car. It's 1,000 horsepower, right? They do make power differently. Nitrous cars, and specifically blower cars, different than nitrous cars. You can't pull a blower car down too hard at the shift. If you do, it'll just pull it out of the power range, and boost is dependent on RPM with blower cars. So we would build a converter different for a blower car than we would a turbo car in that fact alone. We want to get the engine RPM up to where the engine RPM is at its volumetric efficiency and the happiest it can be. And we want it to pull down at the shift as low as we can without having it pull any boost out, right? So depending on where it's make, what RPM it's making maximum boost. And one of the ways that we do all this work is really through data acquisition. I mean, I always say, we always talk about race pack. There are other great ways to get that data, you know, fuel tech, big stuff, HAL tech, RPM, like there's a lot. Data is the key for us to know. So, what's up, Alex? What's going on, bud? And yes, Frankie, I also do bartending, right? Only for you, though, because I love you. So it's really understanding where each engine has a volumetric efficiency and what's going to work. Gear packaging also has a lot to do with how we're going to do it. Like a street car, you're going to be limited to, your gear package in your 4 or 5-speed street car, right?
Sure.
We do a lot of late model Chryslers, the Hemis, the Chargers and the Challengers and the Hellcats. And it's not like anybody's got a gear package to go, oh, we're going to lower the first gear. No, the trans is the trans and nobody's changing us. So it's about finding where the motor is happy and keeping the thing efficiency. Yo, what's up, my brother from another mother, Jose Rivera? What's cooking, brother? we do have a lot of Jose Rivera's from B&R, which is involved with Street Outlaws, and sure. I mentioned the Joe Copson car, which is the Fireball Camaro, Ryan Martin. He's involved in a whole program. And so, again, there's a perfect example. We'll use them as an example. They're working on all types of cars, right? They're working on 4,500 horsepower, you know, outlaw cars, and they're also working on, like, we just did a converter, an LSXT for Ryan Martin's Sierra pickup, which we're supposed to an announcement about. The guy put like 900 to the rear wheels in like a 2017 Sierra pickup. So you know, like we do a lot of cool stuff that way, you know. And those cars are going to work differently. They're going to operate differently. So sure. You know, if we're asking you may look at the slip, right? Like here's a what we call custom built torque order slip. So you call in and we're going to talk to you. Hey, we're going to write all this information down. I don't know that we necessarily need to know everything on a street car, but when we're building a converter for a race car, that's a whole other ballgame. We want to get as much information as possible. Yeah. So every single car needs something different, and understanding what your car needs, like, you know, are you spinning this thing to 9,000 RPM or are you spinning it to 7,500? So all those things, you know, take into effect how we're going to spec out a converter, how we're going to build a converter for you. Yo, Lee, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
So on something like that, say somebody was going to spin it to 7, not 9, or vice versa, what is it, like the angle in the fins, like getting real technical, what's kind of the changes that are made there? Is it every piece through the whole converter, or is there certain things that dictate what you change?
I mean, I would tell you, but I'd probably have to kill you.
Gotcha. All proprietary.
No. I'm just hey, Josh, how you doing? I'm looking at some of the, you know, some of the questions and some of the statements, right? And some of the people that are joining on. So I'm glad to see a bunch of these, lot of really good people. So to Josh, email me at joe.rivera@protorque.com and we'll get back to you, or sales@protorque, we'll get back to you. Or PM me on Facebook. That's cool. What was the last question?
So like on that, on the RPM change, if it's 7 or 9.
But we talked about platform, right? So we've got all kinds of different platforms. EV1s, EV2s, LSXT, our Gen X platform. Right. We've got our U9 program coming out, which is off the hook. So we basically, typically, we try to size a converter. We don't normally talk about actual size. You know, back in the day, you used to talk about 8-inch, 9-inch, 10-inch. Right. Dude, we can get a 10-inch converter to work like a 12-inch converter used to work, you know, 20 years ago. We can get an 8-inch converter to work like a 10-inch. So we typically don't talk about inches, right? I think that's that's kind of a bullshit nomenclature. That's kind of like a bullshit old school nomenclature. So we talk about platforms, right? Does this, hey, what's up, bud? Does this platform handle this power? So, and then really we find the platform that handles the power, right? So an example, an EV1 and an EV2. Everybody said, well, what's the difference? Well, an EV1, right now we have it behind 5,000 horsepower in a lockup in Dwayne Mills' car that just ran 366. We can take that platform and we can go all the way down to a single turbo X275 car and it's going to work. The magic really is in the stator, right? And the stator is what is really the proprietary deal. The stator of the torque converter is really the cam or the brain or the valve body of the actual torque converter. It's going to determine how that torque converter is going to operate. It's going to determine what the stall speed of the converter is. It's going to determine what the coupling efficiency is. It's going to determine, you know, the coupling curve. If we look at the engine drive shaft curve, it's going to determine how that works. And the stator is really where the magic is, right? And I think that's really where, you know, we've excelled. We started doing billet stators, I don't know, 06, 07. We released them like 09. I almost went out of business trying to figure out how to do it. originally back then I had done like, I don't know, 500 different billet stators. And I didn't do one of each. I did like 5 and 10 to, you know, better, worse. So we can figure out, hey, what's going to be the best design? And then there was a lot of work to find out, hey, the blade pitch, angle, design, length, curve, all those things you start doing the math on the variables and how many different things you can affect. It was a pretty interesting learning experience. Like I said, I almost, you know, put us under doing it. But hey, you know, we came out of that and all right. You know, I know a thing about a thing or two about stators, and I realized that stators are really the key. Keith Berry, that guy is a legend. If we can get that guy on, holy shit. Dude, you got to stop with this fishing and get back into racing, Keith. Come on. What's up, Keith? So, yeah, I would say the stator is really the key to determining how the converter is going to transfer power from the engine to the transmission, engine to the transmission, right? And, you know, we've been lucky enough to work with some really good teams and to have a lot of data. We've got a woo stop. That's right. Listen, we're talking about, you know, racing, and Keith Berry is the ultimate promoter, right? He's like, he's a little green, but he's still the best.
Right.
but we go, will they be fishing, Keith? Keith, are you going to be fishing at this woo stop? April 12th and the 16th at Darlington, Keith Berry's got a race that he had his inaugural race last year, and badass killer performances, did really well. If you got some time and you can make it. Unfortunately, Keith, I'm not going to be there, but if I could, I would definitely be there. And if you can make that race, it's a badass race. Keith Berry, that's an iconic car. I had that car up. Wait, hold on. What did I say?
Wait. There'll be fishing in the area.
Fishing on Thursday. So maybe you'll have Petty there if you're fishing, right? So Keith Berry, iconic car. I had that car up on my wall for, oh, I love that car. And it's funny because that car, just the way it sat, looked just like the car that we did back in 1997. We started doing, we were really, we wet our feet in overdrive performance. So, like, I was doing stuff for Lingenfelter and Callaway and Doug Rippey Motorsport, Mallet. Like, we were doing Corvettes and in 97. We were in Carcraft magazine. We were in Motor Trend magazine. So we didn't just crawl out from under a rock. I've been doing this a long time, you know?
Yeah.
And we were doing – we took 4 to 6 tenths off ET. Hey, Matt, what's up, bud? 4 to 6 tenths off the ET with no loss of drivability. Just by matching a torque converter with the engine combination, right? So we just put the torque converter, we put the engine RPM where the engine was happiest.
Oh, I see.
Made a fairly efficient converter. I think that's the key. To answer your original question, like, I realize I'm all over the place, right? I told you.
Oh, that's good. It's good info. It's good.
Anybody who's on here knows me. I'm pretty fucking chatty. Oh, is this a family show? Can I not curse?
Oh, it's all good.
You look like you're 12, so, like, are you legal? I mean,
yeah, I get that.
That guy is the guy from NBC is going to come here
and no, none of that.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You're over 12, right?
I'm 29, so, yeah, just a little bit.
Dude, you look good for 29. I look good for 80, yeah. Right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So, what was that guy's name? Dateline.
Chris something.
Anybody? Chris. Dateline? Chris Matters?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
The Catch a Predator. There it is. My wife is on here, apparently, because she can't get enough of me at home. Right? Poor thing. And she knows to catch a predator. What was the guy's name, though? Come on. Give it up.
Chris something. Yeah, I don't know what his last name is.
Tommy Morrow, speaking of the Catch a Predator, Tommy Morrow. What's up, kid? All right, so can we get back to the technical stuff? Where was it?
Yeah,
did I
answer
any of the questions?
Actually, so what I'll do is
trying to nail me down on a question is like trying to nail jello to the wall. I'm like herding kittens over here, herding squirrels. Give me a question, I'll try to answer.
So I got a good question, but actually what I'll do is right now is a good time. I'll throw it in. So a way that I kind of known about you and through some of this stuff is my dad won the Leo Barnaby Vet.
Shut the front door.
So, you guys, can we talk to you a little bit?
Okay, that's a story. That, listen to me. That's a story. And, yeah. And I hope some of these guys are still on. Chris Hansen, thank you, hon. Appreciate that. So your dad won the Leo Barnaby Vet.
Yep. And okay. I drove all the way out. He was busy. I drove all the way to New Jersey, picked it up, met his brother and stuff, and then drove it all the way back. And he did some stuff with it, changed some hands.
Wow.
And stuff.
I might actually have goosebumps right now. let me tell you something about Pro Torque. And let me tell you something, because I mentioned, like, we were doing nitrous cars back in the 2000s. Leo Barnaby Leo Barnaby was about the same age. We were about the same age. And when Leo Barnaby passed, I almost had a nervous breakdown. He was one of my oh, Bill Copson gets the credit. Thanks, Joe Copson. All right. So Leo Barnaby was a really good business industry friend of mine. And he won a couple of NSCA, I think, championships. We were holding records in his nitrous car. That car eventually went to John Schroeder, if anybody remembers, back in the day. I remember working with Leo when he had the 632 nitrous car, and he had, and we first did a converter for him. And this was way back before, you know, Yellow Bullet and Facebook and right. instant on information. Like today, I was telling somebody today, like, if you do something good today, in 5 minutes, the whole world knows about it, right?
Yeah.
But if you do something bad, let me tell you something, 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, the whole world knows about it. So we try to keep our shit in check over here. I can promise you that. And back then, we didn't have that same level of communication. So I remember the call specifically. Leo Barnaby got my converter, got it in a Wednesday. He was going out testing Saturday morning. He calls me up Saturday morning, like 11 o'clock. He goes, hey. I go, hey, what's up, bud? How you doing? How's testing going? I'm all excited because I'm thinking there was. He goes, listen, I just broke your converter. And my heart dropped, right? Because to me, that's like the worst thing in the world. You convert it, you're like, oh, no way. He goes, I don't know what kind of voodoo magic you got here, but if you can make this thing work, he goes, this is going to be a bad bitch. And that's how my relationship started with Leo Harvey. So the first converter I gave him, he just broke it. But he knew because he was on the second pass. He goes, this thing is so good that when it hit the shift, it came down harder than he was prepared. And that's before we had big input shafts. And it was just a power glide with a 180 gear set and a turbo shaft. And over the years, we became friendly. And Leo Barnaby is the kind of guy that you'd love to you love him and you hate him because he'd push on you. He'd be like, all right, this is good, but how do we make it better? And ultimately, I've surrounded myself around people like that. Like, they're really cool and they're really smart and they're way smarter than I am. But they always push me and I always push back. And that's how you develop product. And that's how you develop record breaking cars and championship cars and unbelievably good race teams. And really, it's through this is about relationships. Right, it's not about the product. The product is good. We can make the product, and then anybody can copy the product, but they can't copy the relationship, and they can't copy the innovation. So Leo Barnaby, ultimately, he went to a turbo car, and the turbo cars had always kind of eluded me for whatever reason. And we're talking about a long time ago. I mean, when did you win that car?
That's I have to look it up. It's been quite a while. It was.
Well, I'm thinking
early 2000s.
I'm thinking he passed away about 10 years ago.
Because
I know it was because this year I will be 50 years old. Yes, I joke around. I look great for 80, but I look terrible for 50. So Leo Barnaby, we were about the same age. He was coming up on 40, and I was bugging out. And Leo passed away, and I thought, oh my God, I can't let this knowledge that I have in my head go to waste. Like I learned so much stuff through all of my work in the OE portion of the business, and I was learning stuff in the racing end, and I just felt like, oh, you know, I got to turn the wick up on this racing stuff, and that's how really we came up with the Revolution Series converter. So unfortunately, Leo never had the Revolution Series converter, but right after Leo passed away. I stopped screwing around. I got serious about it, and once I did, that's how we got to the level of the performance that we're at right now. I also at that same time, there was another guy in the Northeast area, New Jersey. He was actually from Long Island also. Eric Schertz was a turbo Buick guy. And we were working on turbo Buicks in the late 80s, early 90s. And he also passed away. And two of my peers, we were just doing this for kind of fun. And then I go, oh, no, I'm running out of time here. I got to get moving. So that's really how the Revolution Series started was my desire to not let what was up here get wasted, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought that that'd be something funny to bring up to you in a kind of crazy roundabout way, but that's, you were on it. We got the car and my dad contacted you and you're like, no, that converter's different from what we got now and let's do this in that car and stuff like that. So definitely standing by everything you got. It's cool.
I genuinely loved Leo. He was a great guy. So I'm glad it went to a nice place.
Sure. So you had a question come up. EV, you were on your way to EV1, EV2. What's the difference? I said you kind of got sidetracked up before the EV2 part. So okay. The difference
between the two. Right. Yeah, I tell you, nailing me down. Oof, hurting squirrels. So, you know, we developed the EV1, which was just a derivative of the original Gen 1 Revolution series, but a bolt together. We created a bolt together with a bolt through design probably about 5 years ago. And right after we did that, NHRA basically mandated a bolt through design, you know, so that was kind of cool. but the EV1 is good for X power, you know, big cubic inch, big horsepower. You can't put that EV1 behind a specifically a blower car or a nitrous type car. You know, they have different requirements, right? So we developed the EV2, basically the same as the EV1, but a different platform, right? Different pump capacities, different capabilities. You know, so understanding that, you know, it's like any what is a torque converter? It's no different than an engine. It's a pump. So you want to match the pump efficiency with the pump efficiency. You want to match the engine efficiency, volumetric efficiency, with the converter efficiency. And everything requires, every combination requires something a little bit different. And luckily, again, I have the great economics of volumes to work with lots of different cars to know, okay, we do this with this type of car,
yeah.
And we can do this with that type of car. And then from there, we move it around, right? We'll just, you know, all right, we'll stall in here. This motor wants maybe 200-300 RPM higher or 200-300 RPM lower. Well, we can do that with a data change, no problem. So the key for us is data. So the more data you can provide, whether it be on, you know, just stuff I can write on a piece of paper and get the basic combination down. And then from there, once you get it in and running, the more data log information that you can provide to us, the better product or tuning or adjustability that we can provide to you. I think that's really probably our strong point. I think that's where we're, you know, where we excel.
And that's probably as an industry.
That my kind of personality.
So as an industry as a whole, I think that's where probably why we've seen such a advancement in speed and technology and everything lately is because all the data, right? Every car now has pretty much some data on it. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy fun too. So.
Yeah, it's awesome to look back at it. And, I mean, shoot, you can be 3 months away and look back at something and see what worked or didn't. That's what's insane. So,
we posted this Throwback Thursday from Kevin Fiskus from 7 years ago, right? If you see it, it's up on the Facebook. Facebook. 7 years ago, Kevin Fiskus rocked the world with a Revolution Series converter because he went 433. Right.
Yeah.
We're now 360s. Right. Right. We're knocking on the door of 350s on a drag radial car. Tires like this big, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's a goddamn street tire. It is pretty amazing how, you know, as an industry and racing always progresses. So it is fun to watch, no doubt.
Yeah. So what's your, right. What about lockup versus non-lockup? What is a lockup and what is not a lockup converter?
Okay. So let's talk about lockup in its original form. And then I'm going to talk to so we're going to talk about it in a street, you know, like its street form or where it originated from. And then we'll talk about it in relation to racing. Okay. In street form, in the 70s, it was all about fuel efficiency, right? This is way before you were born, right? You weren't even twinkling anybody's eye, right? So the manufacturers, there's a certain amount of slip through the converter. And I think, you know, like Chrysler, they started with a lockup. So you have engine RPM, you've got drive shaft RPM, right? And so there's always a certain amount of slippage in between the two. And so the manufacturer said, okay, well, we're losing some efficiency through the torque converter. So they created really an oil passageway to apply a piston to get the turbine speed of the torque converter to match the engine RPM. So you're directly connected. Input shaft is directly connected to the engine RPM. And that progressed, right? So from the mid-70s into the early 80s, and then we've got electronics, right? And you introduce electronics to the ball game here, and you know, your 1981 350C pickup had a 350 lockup. They went to a lockup. And same thing. So you have engine RPM, you've got drive shaft RPM, and there's a loss between a torque converter, right?
Yep.
And so to eliminate that loss, you lock the turbine assembly to the pump, so you had a 1-to-1 ratio, right? And that's how lockup started. And that's really where you know where I cut my teeth. You know, I was doing lockups when I was like, I remember in the 70s, I was like a kid building lockup clutch pistons for Chryslers. And then we did overdrive performance in the late 80s and 90s. And, you know, we had a lockup converter that was a higher stall speed converter for a Corvette or for a Grand National or for whatever it was. And that's where lockups, the inception of lockups really came. And there could be some debate about the 50s and some dinosaur converters that three band BorgWarners technically had a lockup, but I'm not going to get into that because it's
yeah,
quite frankly boring and like 70 years old. So lockup technology is really that. It's just you're locking the turbine to the pump, or to the back cover, to the engine RPM, right? So lockup in and of itself for street cars, I love. Like, you know, you got a hot rod and you got a, you know, LSX and you're putting a 4LED behind it. You're going to get the best of all worlds. Super low gear, high stall converter, any slippage you have in the converter, you can eliminate by going to a lockup. So they work really well. Now let's talk about lockup in racing. So I want to say that we're kind of late to the game with our lockup converter, but it's okay to be late to the game if you got the hottest bitch in town. And that's lockup technology in racing has been around for a while, a couple of years, maybe, you know, I think there's some debate about, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, 7 years. I don't think it's seven, but whatever. And it's really starting to come on, and it's come on strong. And I'll give credit to some of my predecessors and some of my friendly competition. You know, guys like Mark Mickey. Mark Mickey had a great weekend. I got nothing but love and respect for, you know, guy came out 362 right out of the park. I mean, just killed performance. And he's been working on that lockup for a while. That program I know exceptionally well. We worked with Jason Carter. We're all, you know, kind of friendly. Yeah, I'm getting phone calls in the middle of this. excuse me. So I've got mad respect, and we work with Jason Carter, one of the first guys to have our Revolution Series converter. I've worked with Mark on a bunch of projects, and Mark's really done a good job. And also too, you know, Marty Chance and Neil Chance have done a great job on a lockup, and now Cone's got one. And so everybody's kind of coming to the table with their version of a lockup. And it's the same premise. It's okay, there's a certain amount of slippage between the torque rotor in the torque rotor between the engine and the transmission. ProTorque has been really good at keeping the amount of slippage as little as possible to transfer as much power between the engine and transmission. And I think that's where, again, where we've kind of excelled, that we transfer as much power as possible. For me, lockups, the jury was out. I'm not afraid to tell you, because our non-lockup EV1, EV2s were as quick at around as anybody's lockup. So it's like, man, you know, is this lockup deal going to be faster? But I can tell you unequivocally, the jury is in, and the lockup is unequivocally faster. I mean, Dwayne Mills is one of the, you know, we've got him in a handful of cars right now, and we're still vetting out the product, and it's, the testing is going good, and right out of the gate, it's hard. It's funny, you know, this racing game is about progression. It's about, you know, improvements. So let me tell you, it's hard to make the fastest car in the world faster. It takes a whole lot of energy to make the fastest car in the world faster, and And I will say, I'm comfortable saying that we did it with Mills for sure. I think that if you look at the NMCA performance, right, you know, I think the fastest he was before was like 199 or 200 and came out in the opener and ran 206. And the back half numbers supported it, right? So,
yeah.
You know, he was like three numbers faster the back half. So, yeah, I think I would say, yeah, the lockup is badass. And that's really the only difference. If we go back to the technical engine, the lockup is basically going to eliminate the slippage. You're going to have a one-to-one. There's going to be an oil pressure circuit that's going to apply a piston, and it's going to apply the turbine assembly to the back cover to connect it to the engine, and you no longer have slippage through the converter itself. That's the difference between lockup and non-lockup. That's it. Now, there's a place and a time for everything. I don't think there's a place and a time for lockup in every car. There's a pretty big expense. You know, the converter's no joke. You know, EV1 is, you know, $3,400, $3,500. You know, a lockup is, you know, double that, right?
Right.
You know, you've got to have your program pretty well vetted out, your racing program. And you got to make sure that everything's working great. The cool stuff about the cool thing about ours is typically because we have zero drag technology, means we took. I'll mention Scotty G. I know Frankie's on here. I know he's still watching it. We took his EV1 non-lockup out, put his EV1 lockup in, didn't activate the lockup, ran the car. They ran the exact same ET mile per hour, right? Same 60 foot, everything. So yeah. We can run our product unlocked, same way we do.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so no change in the tune-up. The tune-up's relatively the same. If you got a shitty track and you can't lock it up, well, okay, cool, don't lock it up, right? It's going to run like a Pro Tour. It's going to run just like a Pro Tour, but it's lock it up when you're ready. So, there's my wife. Oh, my God, stop dropping the metal on the desk. Babe, I have ADD. What am I supposed to do? All right, so... what are the questions you have about lockup?
Man, that's kind of it. I guess I realized you don't hear a lot about it, and that's the thing. So what signals, I guess that would be my last thing. What would signal? Would you use that like in the new electronic stuff, like in an EFI system that you would signal that to lock up at a certain point? Or how?
Yeah. So the question I'm hearing is how does the lockup activate it? How is it operated? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what's cool is, yeah, excuse me, Bob Bales, don't encourage her. Stop that. All right, so everybody's going to be different, right? And that's what's cool about, like, what we do is you have options. You're going to have a 3-clutch option. You're going to have a 5-clutch option. You're going to have different material as an option. And that's kind of cool to have, right? Some guys are going to want to lock it up, like, now, right? Some guys are going to lock it up. You know, like what we did find, and I always tell everybody, and this is super important, right? I tell everybody, and I say this every day, all day long. I'm sick of hearing me. Like I said, I'm sick of me. But you have to treat me like you would treat your priest or your criminal attorney or your tax accountant. Like what you say, like when you give us information on this paper, right? Or you send it in your keyboard, right? What your program is your program. We're never going to discuss it with anybody else. So with that being said, everybody's going to activate or operate their lockup differently.
Gotcha.
And like there are programs that I can talk about and there are programs that I can't talk about. So one program that we can't talk about is Kenny Hubbard. Great guy, probably one of the nicest men you'll ever meet in your life. And he went from holding the X275 nitrous record to going into a lockup this year. And I can tell you this, we lock it up at 3.2. Equals 445. Lock it up at 1.7 is going to equal 442. So we know, yes, Ruby is the boss. That's a fact. Everybody knows it. Yes. I'm branded. All right. So the sooner, you know, the mindset is the sooner you lock it up, the faster it's going to be. But there are a lot of mitigating factors to that. And the mitigating factors are really going to be about gear ratio packages, how you're going to operate the car, the engine operating range. You don't want to pull it out of the operating range of the car. You know, if we go to some simple physics. It's horsepower per revolution, right? So the more pulses of power, right, in a given time or given space, it's going to be faster. So if we can keep the engine RPM up and happy and where it's making the most power, it's going to be the fastest period. If we can transfer the most amount of power, it's going to be the fastest period. So to round back to your question, I think every car is going to be different. You know, if you pull some of these cars down too hard, not only will you have performance problems, if you pull it down where it's not making boost or it's not, it's the engine's at its volumetric efficiency, you also don't want to hurt the motor. I mean, I've seen guys, go like, hey, I don't want to pull this down below this RPM. I don't want to drop at 2,000 RPM. Okay. Well, one thing that we've proved is we can actually slip this clutch. We can apply it and slide the clutch in. And so everybody's going to approach that differently. I think ultimately at the end of the day, a continuous slip model where we choose the amount of slip at any given point will be the fastest way down the track. You know, there's nothing wrong with slip if it keeps you in a place where the motor is happy, right? And so yeah, I think in racing, that lockup technology, I think that we're really just knocking on the door, man. I think it's just the beginning. And not just me. You got guys that are out there doing it, several years. And I think that they're just starting to see, there's a lot left on the table. And for a lot of different, a lot of different applications, not just nitrous, not just, turbos, not just blowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a properly geared car, I've seen some of these guys run lockup with, 4 and 5 speeds, and they leave the RPM drop to exactly what they want to keep the motor happy. I think that we're just knocking on the door how to do it.
Sure. Yeah, to where everything gets, or like the data is exactly what it needs to read and do what it does.
That's right.
That's cool.
And I'm going to say, I don't think the lockup is for everybody. I think it's for the people who have a racing program that's pretty, pretty well established, right? I mean, I wouldn't say to everybody, hey, go spend, $7,000 on a torque converter and, $13,000 on a trans, whatever the costs are. I would say get your program vetted out properly, make passes up and down. And then when you know that your program is right, then you go, all right, well, and now if you're building a new car, the cool thing about that is, you can build it and buy a lockup and just not activate it until you're ready to, which is kind of cool. I think that's unique about what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that makes it nice it's that extra little bit that you can add on top when you're ready for it, but you don't absolutely have to change your whole program up to have it.
That's exactly right.
So is anybody else while we probably let Joe get back to work and stuff, but if you guys have any last minute questions or anything we didn't touch on, please throw them in there real quick and try to hit it. What's your take on some of the, like, I know Joe Barry with the 56 and stuff from Drag Week. I know him pretty well.
I love me some Joe Barry.
So what do you think about, like, that street car thing, like real high horsepower?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got to be careful because I can't root for anybody. I can only root for, hey, what's up, Brian? I can only root for, like Team Pro Torque, right? But of all the types of racing, I really believe that Drag Week is like the Iron Man of drag racing. So, we've got guys like, Joe Barry and, Larry Larson and Jeff Lutz and Glenn Hunter and the dirty little dart guy, Matt. And I, the names from Drag Week just go on and on and on. I love Drag Week. I think Drag Week is the ultimate. Oh, sorry. Drag Week is the ultimate in racing, right? And the reason being is, all right, you go out and run 5 second passes. Try driving 1,200 miles in between.
Right.
1,200 miles, right? Try making like 3 passes a day and then go ahead and drive 200 miles. Drag week is by far the Iron Man of drag racing. So I don't know that there's a place for, the lockup necessarily. I don't know that or not. We'll have to do some testing. We'll probably talk to some of the guys and see if they want to jump in and give that a shout. I think that I love Drag Week. And I think that's testament to the product. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You want to talk about durability? Oh, right. Yeah. Drag Week is Ironman, no doubt. No sleep, 1,200 miles. Yep, and a fix for everything. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to take my, you know, my 3,000 horsepower street car. I'm going to run fives. Oh, and I'm going to carry a trailer with
extra pull a trailer behind it and everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, the cool thing about what I do is I get to work with all different types of cars and all different types of people. So that's good and bad, because sometimes a guy will complain about, like, oh, you know, I got to, you know, I put three runs, and dude, they did three runs today and they're driving 300 miles and they just went like sixes. Like, shut up. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, just calm yourself.
Yeah, so, it's pretty crazy, Dale. That's what I figured your take on it would be, is the durability of the product and it living through all that, because it's not just living in the one area. It's got to live driving down the road, like you said, pulling a trailer. So that's pretty crazy.
Right. So Larry Larson just sent his converter in. He's got an issue with it. And I go, like, Larry, dude, this thing's like 4 years old. He goes, yeah. I go, how many miles you got on it? He goes, I don't know, about 4,000. Like 4,000 miles. How many hits you got on it? I don't know, a couple hundred.
Yeah, that's insane.
You
want to
talk about durability? I would say drag week is that's product testing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. So, I didn't see.
I got about five minutes left before they start knocking on my door here and pulling me out of here. Any other questions yet?
I didn't see anything. If you want to tell people, or I can too, it's ProTorque on what? Everything? Facebook, Instagram? Where's your main contact stuff at?
You know, I'm like terrible, dude. I'm like, I just think, oh, you should know who I am and where to get a hold of me. Website is www.protorque.com, ProTorque.com. You know, our website sucks. It needs an upgrade for sure. The Facebook, if you want to keep up with the current stuff, I think we do a pretty good job at the social media stuff. On Instagram, we're ProTorque. On Facebook, we're ProTorque. And we, you know, we post like pretty regularly. You know, like, we try to celebrate the racers that use our product. Hey, Gary, I'm looking forward to see how that converter goes for you. We ProTorque for Facebook. There's Justin. That's my boy, man. That guy does everything just right. Justin from PTEN, used to be with Precision Turbo, working with us and a couple of our friends. Team ProTorque on Twitter. I didn't even know we had a Twitter.
There you go.
Hey, do we tweet? I don't tweet, so all right. We're Instagram, we're ProTorque on Facebook and Instagram, and I think that's where you can keep up with us. And we try to promote the racers that promote us, and we try to promote the racers that have our products. You know, I think we do a pretty fabulous job of, you know, keeping people abreast of what the products are that are coming out. And we sneak out those little spot. We're ProTorque on YouTube. You want to watch the show. Thank you, Justin. Justin keeps my ass in check because I'm retarded. Oh, that's not politically correct. I'm sorry. I'm challenged. What is my wife's? I'm on the spectrum. That's what it is. I'm on the spectrum. So the spectrum of what, I don't know. But we do the Joe Show, which, you know, at first I hated, but I guess we got a lot of good response out of it. So you can find us on Facebook and on the spectrum. There she is, on the spectrum. On the spectrum of what? Retarded, that's what I am. But hey, we're having some fun doing it, so it's all good. You can find us there.
That's cool.
We do our best to try to get to everybody as quickly as possible. Sometimes we fail on that. I mean, you know, PM me, you know, there's like, you're getting all these. Yeah, I know, she got the no comment. You know, it's hard sometimes today, you know, like, you get instant message, you get, you know, private message, you get emails, you get texts, you know, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's apparently on Twitter, but I don't even know about the Twitter. There's a lot of different methods of communication, and sometimes I struggle with trying to get to everybody as quickly and as efficiently as I can. So if I haven't got back to you, I apologize. I'm doing the best I can. I still have to have a life. I work pretty much 24/7. I respond to you like when I can, as soon as I can. If you're really in a pickle and you're in a jam and you need something quick, we can go, you know, you go back to normal business operating hours and just call in here, ask for Mike. Mike's really good at chasing my ass down and hey, this guy, you need to get back to him. And, you know, and eventually I'm not too far behind. I'm, you know, a day or two behind. So you can always get hold of me that way. you know, the phone still works over here, right? And that's, man, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's it. Well, I appreciate it. I learned some stuff, and I know some people also commented that they liked the info, and that's what I was hoping for is just some good information on converters and letting you do your spiel, and we could learn some from it. So I appreciate you jumping on here and doing all that.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
What's the deal with Leo's car? What are you doing?
So I talked to my dad earlier about this. We sold it. My dad and I were a little too tall for the car. He tried to drive it a few times, but it was a little sketchy.
I did hear that.
So we sold the car. It went to a guy back in Georgia, and he's using the engine and transmission, all that stuff out of it. And I don't know what happened with the chassis. It wasn't the best looking car. But the car was fast. It worked for its time, man. It was so far ahead, and it still had top-notch stuff in it today. It's still competitive stuff. So I heard you said something about somehow the plate got back, and we actually still have a pendant that he hung on a visor in the car. So if we can figure out, if you know how to get a hold of the family and his daughter and stuff, and we can get the pendant back to you guys and her, then we will.
You can send it to me, and I know where to send it. I got the I got the plate, and I sent it to his brother, Kenny.
So that's who bought the car from
us. His daughter has his plate. His daughter has that plate.
Okay, so we have – it's a little token with some angels or something on it. I know that he must have had in the car when he was driving. So we'll get that boxed up. I'll get it sent to you so you can get it to the right place.
Yeah, that's great. I would really appreciate that. I'm sure so would the family. Cool. So, look, I appreciate you inviting me on your show here. I got to figure out how to do this split screen. We talked about it when I did that live show. I'll figure it out. Like I said, I'm on the spectrum, so you know, I don't know how long. I'll probably figure it out like when it's not cool anymore. But I do appreciate you know coming on and spending some time with you, and thank you for the opportunity just you know to talk at you for a little while.
Anytime, I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Right, bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.